Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Well, last week we started talking about this prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was not my will, but yours be done. Can you say that with me?
Not my will. But yours be done.
But yours be done. And there's something about that prayer that really helps us walk in the footsteps of Jesus, helps us to understand what surrender needs to look like in this season and the season to come. So surrender, we talked about last week, is a journey. It's a process. At the beginning, we only have a glimpse of what it actually looks like. But as we walk with Him, the longer that we walk with God, the more we discover we need to lay things down so that we can pick new things up that He has for us. So we discover this need that we all have to surrender. So if you missed any of the series, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast or on the app. This is a powerful prayer that Jesus prayed,
yes.
That we can learn to pray. Not my will, but your will be done. I'm so happy to have Pastor Corinne up here with me today on the stage to help me with this topic.
I'm happy to be here. This is such a relevant topic because oftentimes we really think we have surrendered. And the truth is there's things that we constantly need to surrender. And I believe like when we follow Jesus' example, when He says, not my will, but yours be done, as we continue to pray that, He will continue to reveal to us the things that we need to lay down. Sometimes it's things that we didn't even think of. And I've been really thankful that we've had the opportunity to sit down with a few of you and hear some of the things that God has put on your heart to surrender. And it's just beautiful to see God working on each and every one of us to surrender things that could be holding us back from the fullness of what He wants to do in us. So we have to follow His example and remain open.
That's so true. I think when the Holy Spirit is guiding and we're open to the Holy Spirit, we're listening for the Holy Spirit, He's going to pinpoint some stuff.
Yes.
Nobody actually has to come to us. That can be a confirmation to us, but we already are being quickened in our heart to make changes in our lives. So Philippians 2:5, I want to start here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ or the mentality that Christ had. So part of laying down our will is picking up, and picking up His will is learning to think differently. Part of laying down our will and picking up His will is learning how to think differently.
Yes.
How many people before you came to Christ, you thought in a different way, right? But when you came to Christ, you began on this journey to see things differently, to look through the lens of Christianity or following the footsteps of Christ. Paul said, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's the NIV version. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So let us learn to think how Jesus thought, how to approach life, how to approach people the way that Jesus does. So What does that mean to you when you say take on the mentality or the mindset of Christ?
It means really disciplining myself with Scripture. Because the truth is our mind is a product of what we expose ourselves to.
Right.
So it's shaped by whatever's dominating the atmosphere, whatever we're putting in. And we've heard that before, but Scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And in the Old Testament, the heart represents the center of emotions, thinking, and reasoning. And so when I think of that today, I think of our hearts as almost like our minds as a garden. And if you prepare the soil, if you plant the right seeds, and you water it, and you give it good sunlight,
right,
you can create a beautiful garden. But if you abandon the process of pruning, uprooting the weeds,
right,
keeping pests and other things out, you end up with just an area full of weeds, devoid of fruit and beauty. So our mind is like that, and it's important for us to, like Scripture says, to take captive our thoughts, right? We gotta assess what's going on in our minds and submit that to Christ, because we want it to be full of Him, full of His Word, full of what He's wanting to speak to us And it's amazing when you're resting in that, how he will bring scripture to you. He will remind you in the middle of something because you're so full of the word.
You know, there is a battle over the mind. There is a battle over the mind. There's a battle over our thoughts. What thoughts are going to dominate your mind? Either they're going to be godly thoughts or they're going to be ungodly thoughts. If we just simple. There are going to be thoughts that lead you to doing things man's way, or thoughts that lead you to doing things God's way. In the very beginning, if we take a look in Genesis 3, we see that there was this beautiful garden, there was this paradise, and in entered the serpent, right? The serpent introduced, in the middle of this paradise, some ungodly thoughts to Eve and to Adam. He introduced these thoughts, and these thoughts had consequences. God told Adam in Genesis 2, before this happened, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, you are free to eat any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. So God was telling Adam, trying to prepare Adam, look, you're in a paradise, you can eat from any tree, but don't eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so it was paradise. They only had godly thoughts until the serpent showed up. How many know the serpent will show up in your life? And he will try to introduce some thoughts. Why don't you try the fruit from this tree? Why don't you try these thoughts? Why don't you try this knowledge? How many know that not all knowledge is profitable? Not all knowledge is profitable, right? We see here in the garden, there was a tree, and there was knowledge that they had access to that was not profitable.
I really love talking about this because we live in an age where people are chasing knowledge left and right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people live in bondage about this specifically and don't even know it. I've seen people chase knowledge so hard, and they end up so lost because it's almost like too much, and they forsake the simple gospel.
Yeah.
And it's important in this age of information where you can, at a voice command, get whatever you want to know more about, because you can access the internet, right? And, of course, it's provided some helpful things. But along the way, there's some very wicked and evil things that people knowingly and maybe unknowingly have allowed to govern their lives. And Scripture tells us about the dangers of chasing the wrong type of knowledge. 2 Timothy 3, 7 and 8 says, these people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They oppose the truth. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. And I think, man, that's strong wording. Depraved minds and a counterfeit faith.
This is so good, though. It's ever learning, so you can be learning. You can be learning all the time and still never able to come to true knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, when he was talking to Pilate, Pilate said, well, what is truth? And Jesus said, I am.
Yes.
I am the truth. Yes. And so there's lots of different types of knowledge, but we can be ever learning. We could spin our wheels all the time, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I think it's so important that we come to the knowledge of the right truth.
Yes, and our takeaway with this specifically is our primary revelation should come from the Bible. Our identity is found in Scripture, in His words, what He's spoken over us. Because there's so much out there, and there's so many people that will search and search and self-help. And I'm not saying all those things are bad. There are ways to help sharpen a skill and things like that. But our identity and our firm foundation is rooted in Christ and His Word. So that should be our first and foremost revelation.
You know, we talk about being unshakable, right? And that's our word for the year. I read a lot, but I judge everything that I'm reading through the lens of God's Word.
Absolutely.
So it's like I'm straining it through this belief system in the Word of God. So it's not that we can't read and we can't learn and we can't grow and we can't see new things, But everything should be judged through the lens of the Word of God. Does mm-hmm. this line up with what He has said?
Yes.
Okay, there's man says different things, but what has God said? And so looking through the lens of the Word of God at the information that's coming at us helps us to take captive,
yes.
right? It helps us to take captive the thoughts that don't belong in our lives.
So a good scripture for this as well is Philippians 3:8, which says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ, the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. So I think what it's saying is that there's not a comparison to the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of knowing Him more, seeking Him more, learning about Him more, becoming more like Him, versus trying to search for all these things outside of Him. When we fill ourselves with the knowledge of Christ, it puts everything else in perspective. When somebody, you can see a difference in somebody who knows who they are in Christ versus somebody who's searching, and it's like that paints everything that they do. But when we're rooted in Christ, it begins, like you said, it's like a lens that filters everything out in our world for us.
Yeah. So this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge, here's this word again, the knowledge of God, and we take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So this word knowledge, this is a specific type of knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. So I'm demolishing arguments. I'm filtering things out of my life, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So this knowledge of God, it's not a knowledge of evil. It's not a knowledge of good and evil. That's mixture, right? That's what the serpent was saying. Hey, this is a mixture of all kind of varieties of knowledge that can help you ascend to a higher. How many know people have been led astray by a mixture of good and evil knowledge, right? So this type of knowledge, the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of evil, not the knowledge of good and evil, but a knowledge focused and centered around God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, right? We demolish arguments and pretensions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And here we go. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here's the challenge. Take captive every thought. How do we lay down our will and our way of thinking and say, God, I want to pick up Your way of thinking. I want to pick up this mentality of Christ. Well, I got to take captive every thought. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling us. And make it obedient to Christ. I want to have a Christ-like mentality. Anybody here want to have a Christ-like mentality? This is who we model our lives after. And so I have to eliminate the other thoughts, eliminate other thought processes that are contrary to the knowledge of God, contrary to the teachings of Christ, right? If I want to have the mentality of Christ. So I'm weeding out, you talked about this a little earlier, weeding out other types of knowledge that are contrary to the knowledge of God. Paul says, take them captive. The devil is always going to introduce thoughts, just like the serpent. At the very first instance of introducing an ungodly thought, he's always going to be there to introduce thoughts, but it's our job to take them captive. You might not be able to stop the enemy from introducing the thought into your mind, but you can take the thought captive. The problem sometimes with us is the devil introduces a thought and we play with it. We tinker with it. We fantasize about it. Well, this is what that might look like instead of taking it captive. We play into the enemy's hand when we allow that thought to run free in our minds.
I agree with that. And I think there are applicable ways that we can apply that right now. I know that everybody has faced uncertainty or fear or frustration, all the emotions, right? And so there are times that we are faced with certain things, and it's like the enemy will introduce a thought that it's like the snowball effect. If he could just get you to start at this place and then roll it down the hill, it'll get real big and bigger than it needs to be. And so just as those moments happen, it's important. I've found myself at times where I'll begin like I'm trying to rest and something will come up that I'll start to wake up and feel stressed out. I'm like, I'm not doing this. You know, so I just like I'm saying that because that is how you do it. I want to show you that's how you do it. We're not doing this. This is what I know God has said to me about this situation. In peace, I will lie down because He is God and He gives us that unshakable faith to say, you know what, when the enemy introduces a thought, you can correct it. But when we're truly transformed, we don't think the same way. Things that were okay before suddenly aren't anymore. You begin to take authority in your own life because you're allowing Him to take authority of your will. And so you start wanting to do, to stop doing certain things or following certain things. I remember being somewhere one time years ago, and it was very loud. There was a lot of things happening. And in that moment, I remember just it got silent in my world, in my mind. And I just heard, this is not for you. And I got out of there so fast. But it's like those moments when God is transforming you, He will speak to you right where you are. He'll introduce the thought. And it's important that you listen to that moment. You listen to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because He is guiding you into transformation. We don't want to go back to the things He's trying to free us from. And so listen to that still small voice. There are things your friends might be doing or saying that God may say to you, that's not for you. And so He's calling us to be different. And it's in those defining moments that we have the choice to accept His will or to fight it and say, well, I'm going to do this anyway.
It reminds me of scripture where Paul is talking about not everything is profitable.
Yes.
You know, I can do all these things, but not everything is necessarily profitable. In another place, he talks about the concept of not violating the Holy Spirit, that conscience inside of you. So somebody might be beside you, they might be a believer, and they might be doing something, but it violates your conscience, and you shouldn't do it, even though they're doing it. Maybe it doesn't. It's not affecting their conscience, but that's between them and the Lord. But if it violates your conscience, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you got to say, you know what? I'm going to think differently about that. I'm going to remove myself from this situation. Our word this year is unshakable. God wants to make us unshakable. We have to build on Him for that to happen. We're building on the rock. And when we build on the rock, we become unshakable. If we want to have an unshakable mind or an unshakable mentality, we have to lay some old thinking down. We want to have that unshakable mind. We have to take captive every thought that would cause us to stumble. And if we want the mind of Christ, any other mentality, we have to be willing to lay down. An unshakable mind. God wants to give us an unshakable mentality that no matter what the storm is, no matter what's going on, that you will stand. It's about learning how to say, not my will, not my thought process, but your will, your thoughts, your ideas, your plans. And I'm going to take captive any thought that gets in the way of that. And so I'm saying, I want to be unshakable. So we're choosing to move our thoughts, cause them to be consistently in the direction of Christ, not back and forth. And here's this important little point here. We cannot deviate. On Sunday, we think one way, and then on Monday, we think differently. Or on Sunday and on Monday, we're still in the afterglow, but by Tuesday, we're thinking a different way. That is instability. That's not being unshakable. That's being double-minded, right? Yes. Being double-minded creates instability. So this is a challenge for us in, as people of faith, is to consistently have the mentality of Christ. Not just on certain days, but consistently have that thought process like Christ. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we've been talking about being unshakable. To be unshakable, you got to have a thought process that is rock solid. The only rock solid mentality that I can give you is the mentality of Christ. That even on the cross, He was not, even under duress, He was not shaken. He did not turn from His mission, His assignment. He didn't start saying crazy stuff on the cross, right? Some people, when they get under duress, they lose their faith. They get in a difficult way and they go back to the old man. They start saying worldly things, worldly thought processes, crazy stuff, right? But this is an unshakable mindset that even under extreme stress, even under the torturous conditions of the cross, his mindset was set. It was settled. So we have to say, I want to have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to be, as James 1:8 says, a double-minded man, because that is unstable. I want to make myself stable by following the commands of Christ and beginning to train my thoughts to be in obedience to Christ.
And it's really a daily surrender, because as you were saying, you don't want to go off the afterglow of the weekend, of the Sunday, but if it's a daily surrender, every day you're saying, not my will, God, but your will be done. And there are things that sometimes, this is the reason we have to submit our minds to him, is because things that make sense to us, it can make perfect sense in the natural, but it doesn't line up with what he's trying to do spiritually for us. And so that's why we have to, just like we sang the song, lean not on our own understanding. That's a scripture. We lean not on our own understanding. We lean on him. When we're anchored in God, we are not easily swayed. We have sure footing. We have sure thinking. And then we have a foundation that restructures. Think of it as a foundation. You lay a foundation. If it's laid the wrong way, then it's not going to provide a stable building. But when we allow the Word of God to be our foundation in our minds, it creates a strong structure that he can speak to us, that things can flourish in there. He restructures our thought process. That's how we become unshakable in our thinking, because we've allowed his word to set the firm foundation for our thoughts.
When they train people to spot a counterfeit bill, what they do, they don't show them a bunch of counterfeits. They keep on showing them different aspects of the original. You're going to keep on showing them the original. Keep on showing them the genuine thing. And so this is important for us to understand. If we want to change our thought process, we have to continue to look at the Word of God over and over and over again. We have to look at the original. We have to look at the genuine thing. If we want to say, oh, I want to judge myself, I want to judge my own thoughts, I want to judge my own mentality in this area, let me look back at what the Word of God says. So if there's something that we can take away from today, I want you to take away Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if you could take something home with you today, take that, meditate on this week. How do I need to renew my mind? Yeah. What does that look like? If I'm laying down my old thought process, if I'm laying down my ideas of what I need to be doing, and I'm going to pick up his will, his thoughts, his plans, his perspective, I've got to renew my mind. I'm going to spend time in prayer. Spend time reflecting this week. Ask the Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Help me renew this mind. Teach me. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will not rebuke you for asking. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you his thoughts. So let us renew our minds in our devotion time, in our reflection time, in our prayer time. Let us ask God, God, help me renew my mind. I want to lay down any ideas, any thoughts that I have that don't line up with yours, God. I want to look at the thoughts that I've been thinking and remove any thoughts, take captive any thoughts that aren't obedient to Christ. So as we pray, we're praying that prayer, not my will, but your will be done. Can we pray together today?
Yes.
God, thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here today. God, I thank you that they're here. I'm thankful, God, that they're here receiving this word. God, as Christians, we have to learn to say not my will, but your will be done. We have to pray, not my will, but your will be done. We have to surrender our thoughts and our ideas so that we can pick up your thoughts, your plans, your ideas, because you have good plans, plans to prosper us, plans to transform us, that we can be more like Christ. So God, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. God, give us an unshakable mentality, which is the mentality of Christ, that even in the most difficult circumstances, it did not change his mind. It did not change his perspective, because he stayed anchored to the Father. God, anchor us to the Father. Anchor us to the Word. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to pray. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've drifted in my faith, but I need to reconnect. I've gotten focused, out of focus, and I want to get back in focus with Jesus. If that's you, or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I ever really had that commitment to Jesus. Either one of those, just slip up your hand. I'd love to pray for you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen. That's the most important decision that we can ever make, is the decision to say yes to Jesus. He changes everything. Without him, nothing is possible. With him, all things are possible. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for your love, for your sacrifice on the cross, for laying down your life so that I could have abundant life. I'm sorry for the times I've drifted, for the times I did it my way, for the sin. Give me a fresh start today. Forgive me by the power of your sacrifice. Teach me how to walk in your footsteps. I want to be obedient to your commands. I want to live a life that pleases the Father. Teach me to pray, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.